Thank you for listening to KCAW Sitka. This is Claire sitting in for Kayla for Swing Set. And now we are joined by Kitty LaBounty and Molly Kabler from The Garden Show. So we're going to talk about the top 10 veggies to grow in Sitka. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Claire, thanks so much for having us. So, you know, if you're just catching us and haven't heard, we've been doing the pop-up version of The Garden Show this spring, so you never know where we are going to pop up. And so this is it. This week we're popping up on Swing Set. I do have to make one bad joke. You know, when you're done with your swing set, you move it out and let a garden bed develop. So that's my bad joke.
Yep, sandboxes, swing sets. Yep, that's what happens.
But we're delighted to be here, and thanks so much for having us.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I was trying to play some music that has some sort of garden essence. So we heard misty roses and honeysuckle rose, all different types of garden themes going on.
Those are excellent themes for our part of the state. We grow honeysuckles here and roses and really fantastic. Yeah. But what we wanted to talk about today was the top 10 veggies. We'd had another pop-up show that was the top 10 flowers. And, you know, we have to give our veggie friends fair chance here.
Indeed, because I like to grow both of them. And at the end, I might actually, if I can relocate it, might reshare the flower list. But I think we should focus most of our time on the vegetables. Yum. So do we agree on the first one?
Well, I think number one is carrots. Yes. And at least that's what we've done in the past. So
I think it's a good one.
It is a good one. You know, it's been interesting the last couple of years, people have struggled a little bit to get carrots to germinate. Mm-hmm. I think this year people are doing better. I've seen some great carrots coming on. And I would tell you, if you struggled with your carrots and germination, or maybe you had a intense slug manifestation because they're really good at mowing those tiny seedlings over, it isn't too late to start again on carrots.
No, they'll keep, actually, you can keep your carrots in the ground if you cover them with not actually very much. Last year I had mine covered with a tarp and all that, and the carrots were in the ground and looking good until I dug the last of them up in April. So they can take it. So I, you know, if you have some spots where things weren't looking quite as swanky in terms of germination as you wanted to, yeah, replant. I love carrots. I think that's probably my favorite homegrown vegetable because that's really the one that I can taste the difference in the most. Well, there's another one, but it didn't make the list, so forget it.
Oh, okay. So next on the list, speaking of the list, is potatoes. And one of the reasons we suggest people grow, well, there's many reasons to suggest that you grow potatoes. One of them is that they're quite easy to grow, and they do really well here. So our climate's so well-suited to growing potatoes that if you're looking for success and you're a new gardener, potatoes are a great way to go. Or if you're someone who travels or you are a seasonal worker or fisherman or something like that, you can get your potatoes going. And then I can't say you exactly walk away, but you can be gone quite a long time. And when it's time to dig potatoes, you should still have potatoes. So,
right. That's the other reason why I like carrots. Besides the taste difference, once you get them set and you've got them, you know, thinned how you like them, I walk away. I don't do anything else with them.
So. Right. You don't miss a harvest season because potatoes are the same way. Even if the greens are all dying back, they'll hold in the ground for you until you're ready to dig them. So carrots and potatoes, those are great.
There we go.
Yeah. Can I ask a question about the carrots?
Of course you may.
And because you mentioned thinning. Mm-hmm. So as I was saying before, off air, I've been helping out with the Pacific High School garden, and we're growing carrots there. And we were wondering about thinning them. We just saw that kind of the greens were kind of clumped up, and we weren't sure, should we thin them now, wait till they get bigger?
I would thin
them. Well, how big are they?
The greens,
are they an inch tall, four inches
tall?
That looks
like three to four inches tall.
3 inches.
I would.
Definitely.
I actually like to thin mine earlier, but when they're tinier, I'll take out little scissors, like little cuticle scissors, and just snip them that way so I'm not disturbing everything. Mm-hmm. And if this year I've mostly planted all my carrots in pelleted form, so I don't have to thin quite as much, but other years, it's like no matter how carefully I try not to pile them on top of each other, I eventually lose patience and it's a mess. But the carrots need to be, you know, ultimately, I don't know, maybe an inch and a half at least, you know, spacing from each other. And that can be in all directions, right? So it doesn't have to be tidy little rows. They can, you can have lots of little
mosaic
carrots.
Look.
Yes. Yeah. Mosaic, carrot mosaic. I yeah. like it. Yeah.
Could be artistic.
So yes, but, thin.
Yeah. And if you don't, what happens is that they just don't produce that nice carrot because they're all in there feeling mm-hmm. like, dang, we don't have shoulder room to grow our nice big root. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet.
Good question.
Broccoli.
Yes, broccoli is okay. right there. Broccoli is actually number two on my list, but it doesn't really matter. We're not at the interesting point of the list exchange
where we
comparison
have to really
yet.
Duke it out.
We have to duke it out. Yep. I like broccoli, and that's one of the plants that you can miss it. You want to be a little bit careful about broccoli, and I try to like plant it every 2 weeks for a while just so that I won't miss all of them in case I suddenly go walkabout or vacation or whatever. But even if you miss the main clump and it starts flowering, you can cut that part off and you can still eat it, actually. But if you don't like uproot the whole thing, you get all these side shoots. So you're going to win some way or another with broccoli. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of varieties of broccoli, and I have not been diligent about tracking which are the perfect varieties to grow. And so my summary statement is really pretty easy to go. And you probably want to read, if you're choosing like from the catalog and picking a variety, look for one that's a pretty fast, mm-hmm. Fast at producing its head. Mm-hmm. So a shorter season broccoli is going to be great for us. But you really can't go wrong. They'll all do pretty well here. And much of the time people just buy a 6-pack or a 4-pack of broccoli that are already sprouted. And then you're not going to, you're only going to get a choice of one variety.
Right.
And I would say go for it. That's a great way to go. The other thing is broccoli seeds are just the same as carrots. They're really small and you can suddenly mm-hmm. have a million broccoli plants and they're even worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, a broccoli needs a good square foot to produce a good head. So, I mean, they're easy to grow from seed. So I don't want to recommend not growing them from seed. But if you don't want to go that route, you know, a pack of broccoli and planting them out is a really great way to go.
Mm-hmm. And what you do have to remember with broccoli is they are susceptible to one of our few pests, the root maggots. So I keep mine covered up, at least until the flies stop drifting around. And sometimes even further because it actually discourages deer from feasting on my broccoli.
So next annoying. I have lettuce.
Okay. Actually, lettuce is next. I mean, I kind of did a little cheat on my broccoli because I wrote broccoli and cauliflower. But lettuce is, yes, I love lettuce.
And lettuce is, I think the one main problem people have in growing lettuce, so pretty much all the lettuces grow here just fine, really well. Again, they're like carrots. You really need to thin them or you're just going to get kind of a packed mass that isn't highly productive. But you really want to eat your lettuces while they're small because they're so much tastier. I mean, don't wait thinking you're going to have big iceberg-style head lettuce at the end of the season because that's not happening here.
Not if you grow... Right. And so you have to be careful. You can grow iceberg lettuce, not if you fuss with it and you cover it. But more often, we grow leaf lettuce, or I grow like the butter crunch lettuces, and they make a little bit more of a head, more of a loose head, and they're super reliable. But for sure, with the leaf lettuce, it doesn't need to get big to be absolutely delicious. Mm-hmm. So that's the one I really wouldn't let keep growing. I have grown iceberg. I don't grow the variety. I haven't even seen that they sold the varieties that make like those solid crazy heads, and they don't, I mean, I did it once a few years ago just to see if I could do it more than because I loved the taste, because I actually like the other lettuces better, but I had to prove to myself some strange point.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, there are dozens and dozens of lettuce varieties. They come in curly and they come in smooth and red and speckled, and
pretty
so
colors.
Help yourself. Whatever looks tasty and fun to you, I think it's great to entertain yourself. I like to stick with the open seeded, the heirloom ones. I'm a big fan of black seeded Simpson, which is one of the oldest lettuce varieties going. Mm-hmm. And it's a good one for our climate, and it's a leaf lettuce. So when it comes up and it has some nice leaves on it, you can just pull those off and it'll keep growing some more for a while. But you want to go for it, because lettuce does get bitter after a while. Mm-hmm. And you want to get it while it's sweet and young. Mm-hmm.
So just to give you an idea, in the territorial catalog, there are 7 pages of lettuce varieties.
It's overwhelming.
So I'm just like, I kind of pick it by color is what happens more often than not with me. It's like, oh, well, I want a green one, and then I want one with some variegation in it because it looks cool. But yeah.
So next on the list is kale / spinach. And or you could add in really the greens of your choice.
Yes.
Kale, years ago we might not have recommended kale, but kale is, you know, the hot vegetable. Mm-hmm. And the other thing about kale that's so fantastic is that it grows here all winter. Mm-hmm. I know folks who now in June are still harvesting last year's kale from, you know, their plants that are lurking around the edges of their garden. So kale is really a fantastic vegetable to grow in Southeast Alaska.
I agree. And if you get stuff that's been around for a little while that you didn't eat, I made mine into kale chips. You know, just, I mean, they're not potato chips like, but did the dried thing with the chips, and it's really good. Mm-hmm. So if you get stuff that you feel like, oh, it's a little, you know, long in tooth and all that, there are other ways to deal with it that are very tasty.
Mm-hmm. And would you say the same thing about harvesting kale? You want it maybe a little bit smaller, the leaves, or does it...
I think kale's more forgiving than that, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, the little leaves are super tasty, and you can throw those straight into your salad, and they're very nutritious. I mean, kale's supposedly the most nutritious food on the planet, but even the bigger leaves on the what we call the red Russian kale that seems to self-seed around here like crazy, even the big leaves are really pretty sweet and tender. I find them tastier than commercially grown kale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes if I feel like it's getting tough, I'll rip the sides, you know, so I'll eat the blade and leave behind the midvein, or put the midvein in the compost or whatever, and that seems to take care of some of that kind of like, okay, yeah. I'm chewing, I'm still chewing sort of feeling.
Yeah,
but I haven't come across a kind of kale I didn't like either.
Yeah, one of the longest lasting things in the garden. The nice part is, unlike lettuce or potentially spinach, you can't miss a harvest. You won't miss out on harvesting your kale because it's going to keep growing and it'll still be there for you to harvest.
So this is, I don't know. I'm looking over at your list, looking at my list. I put snow peas on.
I know you have snow peas, but then there's spinach. So
yeah, I know. I went,
you know, now we're
going to
get into it here.
Spinach. Well, snow peas are fun.
They
peas
are.
In
Kids
general
love
are fun
them.
Because you know, you put up the fence. They're big seeds. They, you know, mine are all the way up to the top of their fence almost. They're happy. They have nice flowers. They have good plants. They'll just are good fruits. You'll just keep picking those pea pods, and you'll keep getting more. So to me, that's like great.
Yeah. It's not on my list, but I'll tell you one tip about growing them is that you really want to keep picking those pods, because if you let them hold on to their pods and their pods go to seed, you know, get beyond the point of being delicious. The plants are like, okay, job done. We don't have to produce anymore. So you really want to keep your pea pods picked.
Mm-hmm. I like that, Molly. Very, very nice.
Are snow peas and snap peas interchangeable? Or
they're
different
types of peas, but they both grow well here.
Oh, okay.
And you can eat the whole thing in both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it varies which one I actually grow. I use snow peas because that's the type I've grown the longest here, but I have grown... the edible pod.
Mm-hmm. I think snap peas are tastier myself, but they're both good choices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, in terms of ease, you can have your kids plant these ones because, the seeds are just giant. You soak them overnight, you put them in the ground, voila, you have peas. Sorry. Okay. I talked about peas enough. What do you have?
Garlic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We both have garlic. Garlic is a neglected vegetable. In
except for maybe
gardens.
Not here. And the other really wonderful thing about garlic that I've noticed is, so if you grow like the walking onions or some of those, the slugs like those really well. But the slugs really don't bother Mm-mm. garlic. Mm-hmm. Garlic is sort of tough and perfect for Southeast Alaska. And the other thing that's great about garlic is that you plant it in the fall with your flowering bulbs. Well, maybe not mixed right. in, but mm-hmm. I mean at the same time. And so you don't have to worry about if you're not on top of it in the spring, your garlic's already there and happening.
Yeah. No, I like it. I try to harvest in August, usually the early side if I have my act together. Because you do, so you want to harvest them. I like to harvest them before all the skins start falling apart. That is the skins that are wrapped around the individual cloves. And actually, I should say, backing up, I usually cut the scapes. Mm-hmm. So you cut the flowering part off, or what's going to be the flowering part, and you can eat that as well. And the plant doesn't need those to do anything terribly useful with at this point, and especially not you as the gardener do not really need it to form flowers. So you cut those off, you can eat those, and that actually improves the size of your garlic.
And some people plant a lot of their really small garlic head, you know, individual cloves that are really small, and harvest them as garlic greens. So you can pull the whole plant, like this time of year right now, and chop them all up and cook them, and they're really delicious because those tiny, tiny ones are going to have a tough time getting to a big, bold clove of garlic by the end of July or early August.
Right. So you don't want to plant the small ones for getting more cloves, but just for the greens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So usually what people do over time is they select the garlic heads that are the largest, the healthiest. You know, if they're looking for that, the wrapper skins all the way around it intact. So you can, it's nice. It's one that you can easily select for, select amongst a known variety, I guess, and then just pick which heads, which cloves are going to give you the best harvest.
The fun thing about garlic, and we didn't mention this with potatoes, but it's the same thing, is that you can grow the same ones over every year if you save a few cloves to plant out, or you actually, you don't even have to save them that long. You can harvest your garlic, let everything dry, and then about a month later, you can plant, you know, your best, some of your best cloves, so you have a really good chance for big heads the next year. And, you know, going way back in our conversation, all of 15 minutes ago, it's the same with potatoes. I mean, I save potatoes and plant them on the next year as well. Yeah. So it's pretty fun when you have the same ones that turn out to be really productive and they feel like old friends.
Yeah. No, and I think, quite a few. I would highly recommend that anyone that has a garden grows some garlic. It also, I do think it helps kind of deter your slug friends. And I don't know if all garlic growers have had this, but the deer have not messed with my garlic.
Yeah.
And that could be different in other places. And actually, I have someone I should ask to make sure that they haven't had trouble with deer. But usually the deer will come through and eat different things, but avoid the garlic.
So you're growing garlic right at Pacific High?
Yes.
And did it get planted last fall or did it get planted in the spring?
I think in the fall, yeah.
Nice, because it's probably pretty big.
It is, yep. Yeah. And then another question I had with growing veggies. With your gardens, do you put different veggies in the same bed or keep it, you know, one veggie per bed? Or does it depend?
Depends. Mm-hmm. I tend to put mine in blocks more, but they're big enough blocks that I can easily rotate crops in that bed. So I really do try not to grow the same type of crop or a close relative of that crop in the same bed year after year. So I'm moving things around. But I do also kind of like to mix things up a little bit within a bed. And sometimes by mixing up, it means I put some nasturtiums in there or something completely different to kind of break up the little monoculture that's going on. Because monoculture does favor the, you know, population growth of certain pests and population growth of certain whatever fungi or bacteria or whatever. So breaking up that pattern is not a bad thing to think about.
Yeah. Once you get a feel for your different vegetables, you can also think about what matures really fast, and you could plant that around something that matures really late. So, for example, radishes are one of our quickest seed to harvest plants. You know, in 30 days, you can have credible radishes coming out of your garden and you're ready to go. So you could plant those around other other vegetables that are going to have a slower long-term trajectory. And so that's one way to mix it up in the same bed. There's no harm in that. One of the other things I tend to not share a bed between different veggies is are my potatoes. Two reasons. Potatoes like a more acid soil to keep the scab down. And two, when you plant them, you're planting them at the bottom of the amount of soil that you have. And then you're moving a lot of the dirt in that bed as they come up to cover the stems, because you're going to have more productive potatoes along the stem as it comes up from your seed potato. And so, you know, if you're trying to plant, grow other veggies in that bed, it's going to be hopeless because you're moving this soil around. So once you sort of have a feel for how veggies work in terms of the timing in your own bed and what else they might match up with, then intermixing them is great, actually.
Yep. And even the potato beds get something different on the ends. just to mix it up. And I think some of that's just whimsy on my part. It's like, I like flowers. I like different kinds of things. So, oh yeah, there's some nasturtiums or there's some gladiolas at the end of that bed just because it looks nice to me. So garlic. We got garlic. I'm very curious to see what else is on your list, Molly.
Joy choy is on my list. Yep. So those are the pak choys. They're like when you buy them at the grocery store, you usually buy a bok choy. That's what they call them. Sometimes they call them a Chinese cabbage, and they're big with white, kind of intensely meaty vegetable type stems. But the one I like to grow is called joy choy, and it's sort of halfway in between those two things. Super successful plant here.
I agree.
And when they're first little, you put them right in your salad. And when they get a little bit bigger, if you can outcompete the slugs, because they are slug magnets, they're really great in stir fries and things like that. So joy choy, it's variably known as a pak choy or a bok choy.
Yeah, I was trying to see what it was called in this particular catalog, but I grow it as well. I really like it. We don't, no controversy here.
Okay,
We have that on there. Okay, maybe I have Brussels sprouts on my list.
So it's interesting. I looked back to the list we published in 2012, and we didn't have Brussels sprouts on that list at all, which I'm pretty shocked and appalled by.
Yes.
So I'm with you. I think Brussels are a really great vegetable to grow in Southeast for a couple reasons. One, because they go under the remae really nicely at the beginning when you're covering everything up from root maggot flies. And two, the harvest season's so different than the rest of your vegetables. So they're going to be late season for the most part. I mean, you might have them done earlier, but you're probably eating Brussels sprouts when a lot of your other things except for kale and carrots are sort of done in the garden.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a longer season of fresh nibbles, Brussels sprouts are right in there.
And they like to be fed up. To actually fed up. They like food. They get really fed up with things.
Need some garden nutrition.
They need some nutrition to actually get the full big stem with the really nice little sprouts. Or nice big sprouts, I should say. But they are so good, especially if you do harvest them after a frost. That's when I like to go kind of pluck them off. And I usually don't cut the whole stalk all at once. I'll just go and twist off a few as I want to eat them. Works perfectly for me.
All right, so I went with the Brussels. So what's next on your list?
Well, zucchini.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Give it up.
I'm not going to give it up.
Zucchinis.
No, I'm going to tell you why. And I grow it outside. I do grow it outside. I actually have had better luck outside with a cover, like a remake cover with a certain type of summer squash zucchini. And that's the Cavilli. So it's not I don't grow the big green one. It's big. But they're kind of a yellower sort of stripe.
Stripey, yeah.
And I have to grab them so they don't get too big. And so, no, when I was trying to grow yellow squash or yellow zucchini in the greenhouse, it was like never worked very well. It just didn't. And so I finally went, okay, they just have to grow here. I know other people had grown them. There was a gal in Tanaki Springs that recommended this variety. So I tried it, and I was like, done. I get it. But yeah, so I grow them. The first year I built, like, I had this kind of elaborate broken down piece of stuff left over from a chicken coop, and then I covered that with plastic, and then I started backing off from that. I was like, okay, maybe you just need a little thing. And it seems to work, but it does like to be covered, because if they're just too wet, they're not going to be
rot
happy.
Off. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll bloom and then they'll start forming and you get all excited and then.
Yeah. But they do need, I give them a little bit extra lime. To help them through. But yeah, you do want to protect them from some of the rain.
Well, I'd say out with the zucchinis and in with the arugula. I've gotten to be quite an arugula fan, and they're really easy to grow. And you can save seed year to year on arugula. They go to seed pretty quickly. So you'd probably be worth planting them a few times. And don't wait for them to be some big thing. Just nibble them up right away. Let a couple of them go to seed, and you'll have seed year over year. So I don't know. I find a lot of value in arugula. It has such, I love that peppery flavor, and you can throw it in pretty much anything, cooked or fresh, and it's good to go. So I'd say out with the zucchini and go for the instant gratification.
Yes, and you know, one of those things works. But I also grow greens. I'll grow arugula and all that, but I like having zucchini to make zucchini bread with and zucchini cakes and all those sort of good things. So I'm probably not going to give that stuff up.
All right, I'll let you have it
soon. There's other.
So let me guess.
What?
Sorrel, French sorrel.
I have French sorrel, but you know I didn't put it on my list. Cauliflower was the only other one on my list.
Okay, so let's talk about cauliflower. Because I mean, there's nothing wrong with French sorrel, and it's super easy to grow here. It's
so
a perennial,
easy.
So once you have it, you have it, and if you like it. You'll have it in your garden to
makes really good pesto
to flavor your other things. I mean, it's not a vegetable you're going to crunch into, so it's more in the herb category to me. Easy and tough. Try it out if you're ready for something new.
Yeah, I use it for soup, and then in years when I don't, I finally went. You know, I spent a lot of energy growing basil, and once I started making pesto out of French sorrel, I was like, this is really good. It's excellent on pizza, and it's excellent on all the things I would use basil pesto for. So that's why I'm dedicated to it, but it wasn't on the list. Cauliflower was.
All right, let's talk about cauliflower. I love it.
So cauliflower seems like it's the same. It's the same sort of trick for me as getting good broccoli or good Brussels sprouts or good cabbage. They need space. They need nutrients. They need to be covered early on. But that's about all I do with it. Again, I'll watch it, though, for slugs.
Yeah, they like to eat the head off pretty easily on cauliflower. The other thing I think about cauliflowers, it seems like they are better producers than some of the broccolis.
Yeah,
you know, you get a bigger cauliflower head.
Yeah, and I have noticed if you don't have enough nutrients, you'll get a cute little head.
Oh, cute.
They're very cute. Baby vegetable. Very, you know, I don't know. Very trendy, but really not that happy.
Yeah, not if you're really trying to feed yourself or your family.
Right. And you do want to make sure you get cauliflower before they start kind of growing. You know, they'll be a nice, tight, kind of compact head. And then if you let them go too long, they'll start looking kind of a little bit more alien, spiky. You want to get them before that stage.
And pretty soon they just turn into flowers, and that's not very cauliflower-esque when it's time to eat it.
No, it's not.
So I have one more cheater on my list.
Oh.
Are you done with your list?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I had 11, counting the zucchini.
Oh man.
So how many do you have?
I'm not telling how many I have, but
I see.
I know. But the cheater one is kohlrabi. And this is something I grew as a kid, and it looks like Sputnik going through the sky. So I think it appeals to children. But maybe I'm a child of another era. Anyway, I've been growing them lately and really enjoy.
I'm glad. Kohlrabi. I should have given you mine last year.
Oh, you didn't like them?
I didn't really like them. I was like, okay, I know that they grow here. I know I can grow them. And I grew them, and I was like,
yummy.
Yeah, so I was like, if I'm going to grow another big root thing, I'll grow beets.
Oh, yeah.
I like beets.
Oh. You know, there's so many things we haven't talked about. Celeriac, we haven't talked about. You know, the list goes long.
Leeks.
Long. Mm-hmm. Leeks. I knew leeks were on your list. But we won't talk about all those. But I want to see if you had any other questions, Claire.
Well, I'm curious about food preparation, if you have any dishes. I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of dishes, but some that, like Kitty, you were saying with the kale chips, if you might want to toss the leaf out, but instead you can, you know, bake it in the oven. So are there any dishes like that where you can kind of use scraps, or kind of towards the end of a vegetable's life, you can revive it into a yummy dish?
I think almost all of the greens that may be to the point where they're a little strong or a little beyond where you want to nibble them in a salad, because they're a little sharp, would do great in a soup or a stir fry.
Yeah.
Or quiche. Maybe not a lettuce so much. But all the rest of them, if they're a little beyond, just cook them up. And I think the other thing that's challenging is sometimes when the slugs get in and the greens are a bit slug bit and people are reluctant, they think, oh, this doesn't look like it's an appealing fresh thing. And wash it up and eat it anyway. Mm-hmm. The slugs are made of whatever it was. I mean, I'm not suggesting you eat the slugs. I just mean wash these things up and eat them anyway, and realize that the nutritional value is going to be really great, and go for it anyway.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that I've done with, like, slightly over past its prime broccoli and cauliflower is that I've roasted it in the oven with olive oil and a little vinegar instead of kind of trying to stir fry it, and that seems to tenderize it, and, you know, I've added olive oil and garlic, and therefore it's good, but still that seems to save things a little bit.
Or soup and then blend, that's another one that works really well too, if it's, you know, starting to your cauliflower is turning into the aliens that she was talking about. It's actually still super nutritious. And that's a good way to go
too. It just gets a little but I think the biggest thing for gardeners is to just get out there in your garden as often as you can, and pick, and, you know, you're picking for yourself, and that also keeps you kind of aware of what kind of pest issues or water issues or whatever it is that's going on there. But if you're out there all the time, you'll be, or at least a bunch of time, you'll catch things at their prime.
Yeah. Any other questions that you had?
Yeah. What about rhubarb?
Oh, rhubarb. You know, both of us grow and cherish rhubarb, and it's an excellent plant to grow in Southeast Alaska because it's super easy. It can kind of falter if it doesn't have enough sun or it doesn't get fed up. That's our thing, fed up. Yeah. It gets fed up with you if you don't give it enough nutrition. Right. It's a heavy feeder. It really likes to have that stuff poured on. But it's funny because we mostly consider it a fruit.
Okay.
You know, the salute. Most of the time it gets cooked. It's cooked more into sweet things. Right. And so it didn't make my top 10 list, but I definitely grow it. And it's one of the first things we actually eat.
Yeah. I mean, and it's still going on. It's like one of those plants you have to divide, you have to feed, and you pick. And it will love you.
Keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And I just, if it starts to flower, I'll just cut the flowering stalk off and toss it.
Yeah.
So rhubarb's a good one. And if you can find a red stem variety, they just look prettier.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. And they're around. And the easiest way to get rhubarb is to get it from someone, because usually people need to divide theirs.
Yeah. It's a good problem to have if you're receiving it. So,
yes. Yes, indeed.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything,
I got a couple of people asking me about this top 10, and I'll try and remember to post it somewhere, but it was the top 10 flowers. And they're close enough. I mean, the biggest thing I should say is blue poppies. I could just say blue poppies over and over and over again. Nasturtiums, primroses. The worst part is I have my list, not yours. Daffodils, monkshood, sweet peas, calendulas, and clove pinks.
And then there's Sitka rose and Livingstone daisies.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll try to get these lists out there in some place that someone can go back and refer to it. But basically, if you like a flower, give it a try. Or you like a vegetable, give it a try. There's some things that will make you unhappy because they like warmer weather than we have. So try not to have a whole garden full of, you know, corn. because you will be a sad person.
Mm-hmm. Claire, thanks so much for having us in on Swing Set. It was really great.
Yes, it was my pleasure. So, yes, we just heard the top 10 veggies to grow in Sitka from the pop-up garden show from Kitty and Molly. So thank you again.
Thank you.
We're going to hear from Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong with Let's Call the Whole Thing Off.